you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? Yeah, your turn. All right, and I'll say something. All righty there. But thank the Lord. The song that he gives us this morning, I want to speak to you about this, the greatness of his power. Greatness of his power. I've really been praying for his power. And I know that God has power. Sometimes, you know, you preach about something, you're saying, Lord, I need this. And he gives it to us. He gives us exactly what we need. And I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bibles there, turn with me, Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 15, as we'll begin reading. I'm stopping, I think, this message will never do. Show you how great God is and how great his power is. And I'm thankful for that greatness of power that he has for us. Look at verse number 15. Let's all stand together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. I'll read verse 15, so on down through verse number, you help me on 16, and so on down through verse number 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Notice this, to us word. Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, that not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, the greatness of his power. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I need thy power. We all do. Lord, so many times in our life we get weak, sickness comes, trials come, burdens hit us. Sometimes we're just tired. Lord, I just pray, help us to be strong. Help us to rely upon that power that is in you. May even when our bodies don't work well, may we know that your power is perfect. Lord, you're never sick. You never have a cold. You never are tired. You never even sleep. Your power is so wonderful. We thank you for it. Help us to understand it a little bit here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Ephesians is a great book about faith. A great book about faith. I like what Ryan taught in Sunday school this morning about that faith put in trust of Jesus Christ. When he talked about the Lord and the two thieves on the crosses, that one thief called upon Christ to ask him to save him. He put his faith in Jesus Christ and put his faith in the good works that he did. He was not able to come down off that cross, and it was just a really good lesson there. And he couldn't do anything but put his faith in the Lord. And I think about the wonderfulness of faith. But this book, of Ephesians, has six chapters that are divided into two equal parts. I'm not here for a Bible study. I'm going to teach you a few things here, but share with you a few things. But in chapters 1 through 3, it's what we call positional. And as they show the relationship of Jesus with us as believers and the believer's security in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the security of the believer. Amen. I don't hold my own salvation. If I held it, I'd lose it. You know, I mean, I've dropped things. I find, you know, my fingers get numb sometimes. I can't hold on to things. I'm praying Lord's Supper this morning. We haven't had it for a while. I'm praying, Lord, help my fingers to have a feeling so I don't wear the Lord's cup. Amen. And I think about, you know, about our relationship with him and our security, that we're secure in him. If I had to be secure of myself, I would lose my salvation. But the Bible says no man can pluck us out of his hands. If you were to pluck me out of my hands, some of you women wouldn't have trouble with it, because I'm not very strong anymore. And I never really was, unless you were smelling me, then I was very strong. Amen. But anyways, Just throwing that in for you. See if you're still alive. So the first three chapters, they're about positional, but the second three chapters are about practical, as they show us the responsibility. But I like this too, not only the responsibility, but the possibility of the believer in this world. All things are possible. You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, Ryan, I'd use you as an illustration on that. I'm sure there was a time when you thought, me behind the pulpit? No. All things are possible. Ryan was proof God does miracles, and I mean that not funny. I don't mean that funny. It came out that way. I was going to try to catch it before you laugh. But really is proof. I think it's a miracle that I'm able to stand here today because I know how I was to be able to speak in front of people. There's no way it was going to happen. But you know what? God has other plans. When we yield ourselves to him, think of the possibility that is there. I think of all the kids on Sunday night when they're sitting here on the front row. You know what I see? I see them as sweet looking and okay. And not handsome fellows over here, the sweet looking girls over here. I see them as sweet and in church and listening and paying attention. I appreciate all that. But I see possibility. Possibility. In the first chapters of Ephesians, we find Jesus as he is and not as the world perceives him. If we were to go out into the world today and say, well, what do you think of Jesus? Everybody would give us different ideas, wouldn't they? You know, some people, I think about the hippie I talked to back years ago, and he told me and the reason he has long hair and was, you know, sitting barefooted on a table in a pizza shop. I couldn't understand that. My mama told me, don't sit on the table, you know, and put your shoes on too. Amen. Feet are ugly. And flip-flops don't count. I'm just telling you, fellas, all righty? And just telling you, don't, you know, cover them flippers up. Amen. But you know, if I was to ask the world what they thought about Jesus, they would have all kinds of ideas about it. But the book of the first chapters of Ephesians tells us as he is, not as the world perceives him. Because the world has a warped view of the Lord. The world had this idea, and this is where the hippies and the Jesus freaks came from. They thought that Jesus was a long-haired hippie walking around. They said, well, you know, you look at the pictures, and he had long hair. And what Kodak camera took those pictures? You know, most of those paintings there were done by a homosexual. You know what kind of hair they wanted. They wanted to look like a girl, and so we'll just go on with that. But the world has a warped view of who Jesus is. They see him as God with a little g, but not as God with a capital G. It's almost like the people in the Old Testament, they said, you know, well, I believe in your God, little g. They think he was one of their whole bunch of gods that they had. They had a whole crew, whole bunch of, they call him a different God all the time. We know that God was God with a capital G. So if we look to the world, we listen to the world, what they have to say there, they have that warped view that he was God. And if we see through human eyes, we've got to be careful that we don't get a worldly perception of God. I hate to say this, but sometimes as believers, we get that worldly view of God with a little g. And that's when things don't go so well. You know, it's still capital G when the word cancer comes. Still capital G when the hospital comes and the ambulance comes, takes you away. You know, it's still capital G when the loved one dies. He's capital God. He's God Almighty. And sometimes I think when things don't go our well and the circumstances change, we have a little bit of doubt, and we look at these things we see here and we say, well, that's great. I'm glad that he can do that. That's with a little g. Truth of the matter is capital G that he will do that. Since faith comes by hearing, then we need the hearing of the Word of God. And so then our perception of the Word of our perception of God must be what we read in the Bible. This morning I got up late. I have to ask God to forgive me for backsliding and sleeping late. I slept till 5:30 this morning, which is late for me. I mean, some of you, that was late for you too, but that's, you know, like one day this week I was up at 12:35 a.m. And so 5:30 is really late, but it was nice. I looked at the clock. I thought, oh man, I can't believe this. I slept, not all the way through, but I slept and stayed in bed till 5:30, and then it hit me, I got to get busy. And so I went downstairs and I got my own Lord's Supper, animal crackers and coffee, I got my animal crackers and my coffee, and I sat down. And when I sat down, it was about 10 minutes till 6. and I heard the, it was 20 minutes till 6, and I heard the birds chirping. And I thought, oh my, that's a good sound. They're chirping early. And then I started thinking, oh, I bet the turkeys are gobbling this morning. And I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm thinking, I ought to go sit on the porch and listen for the turkeys to gobble. And all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, what about your Bible time? Well, I figured I was already late for it. It was 5:30. But I thought, you know what? If they gobble, they gobble, and I don't even hunt over here. I know this, God, I'm not going to mess up what you've called me to do, to study your word. And I thought, you know, this Bible here sure has an awful lot for us. So I got into it, and I prayed and asked God, forgive me for even thinking about going out there. Now I'm going to get up earlier tomorrow just in case. But the thing is that, you know, my perception of God is not different one day to the next. My perception of God is what the Word of God says. I'll be honest with you, yesterday I had a really rough day. I couldn't hardly handle sound. That's a problem when you're married. Please help me. I feel this staring glare coming at me right now. But just sound bothered me. I went downstairs and I turned some heat on. Thank the Lord, Ryan, you put that heater down there in that big room, and I turned the heat on, had me an Afghan. I almost said an Afghanian, but anyways, or an African. That's what my grandmother always said. Here, give me that African. No, don't say that. But I got that Afghan, put it over me there, and I was cold, and I just had headaches so bad, and my head hurt, and I was thinking my message. I was looking over my message, seeing how powerful God is. You know, when things don't go your way, God's still all-powerful, isn't he? And I've got to keep telling myself, you know, God's powerful, but why not? Why did this headache not go away? But God knows why. God knows what goes on in our lives. What I've got to do is realize faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. That's why the turkeys didn't mean anything. The word of God means something, doesn't it? That's why I don't understand why folks don't go to church on Sunday. I look and I see the cars go by, and I think of the pews that are empty and parking lot spaces empty, and I think, why? Faith cometh by hearing. I wonder where the faith is. Well, we're not getting the hearing. Our faith is substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1 says. Think about this. The one we have not seen loves us. You know, Ryan, as you were saying about the thief on the cross, you know one of the things that he had going for him? He could look over and see the Savior. He saw him taken out to that cross. My eyes have never seen him. Oh, well, maybe somebody will say, well, I remember one night in the middle of the night, I think it was. No. You had too many anchovies on your pizza. We've not seen him. But yet we know he loves us. We know he loves us. From having seen, we love. Having not seen, he loves us. And who we have not seen, we believe. That's where the world looks at us like we're crazy. So you've not even seen him. But I have the word of God. Points me to him. And I believe we need to believe what the Bible says about him in order to perceive him as who he is and him being right. The Holy Spirit, through the word of God, gives us a right perception of Jesus in these verses. But the thing is, the perception of Jesus has nothing to do with our circumstances. Your loved one dies. I think of Mr. Nicodemus that comes here on Sunday night. Bless his heart. How he loved his wife. I'd see him sit there on the end of the pew with her in that wheelchair and just hold her hand that whole service. I don't know if she knew he was holding his hand. In the song service, he'd just pat her. Just pat her hand like that the whole time. And then what happened? That day came when he took her for that little walk, and they came back to the house, and she sat in the chair, and she was gone. I see him in the service. I see his tears. I call him on the phone, try to encourage him a little bit. He calls him, encourages me. But I think, you know what? we always end up saying this. He encourages me about the cancer. I encourage him about, you know, with his losing his wife. And he says, you know what? God's always still good. You see, God is not God because of our circumstances. If he was, then he would have to say, God's not good. He took the one that I love so much. God's not good. My health is gone. I don't understand it. God's not good. My wealth is not there. But God's good no matter what our circumstances are. The perception is far above anything and everything that can touch us or threaten us. We cannot have a right perception of God unless we see him both all-powerful and all-wise. Now, let's be honest. What in the world, in this world, we can find all-powerful and all-wise? I am not all-powerful. I fight pill bottles. They're child-proof. I'm telling you right now, they're old man-proof. I don't know which one it is, but one of them I take care of. My wife says, oh, you're going to have to open this one up. I go, oh, no problem. I mean, I'm praying, dear Lord, please don't let me down. And it'll click, 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 click. I said, I think I got it. It'll screw. Won't pull off. And I'm saying, Lord, please, just work a miracle here. She'll think I'm strong. Try it again. And all of a sudden you hear that one. Now, I'm not sure if it's my arm or if it's the bottle or what. You know, when I pull it off, I'm glad my hand doesn't just fall off. Oh, my. But, you know, we can always know this, that God's all-powerful and all-wise all the time. He has no weaknesses. He has no limitations. And there's no doubts or worries that the Lord has. Like what someone said, did it ever occur to you that God never said, did it ever occur to you, that God, I messed it up, didn't I? Did God never said that something just occurred to him because he already knew? I messed it all up, but it was neat in my notes somewhere. There's nothing he cannot do. There's nothing that he does not know. You ever sometimes think about when you're praying, and I pray and say, Lord, I got this. The Lord says, you know, he doesn't do this. He doesn't interrupt us. No, I already know. He lets us go ahead and ask. I believe it pleases him. Shows him, Lord, I believe you. We pray unto him. He knows the end from the beginning. So really, we don't need to worry about what's going to happen. And when I got sick, I started worrying. Because they say it's not curable. So if they say it's not curable, it's like not good news. But you know, the Lord can come back tomorrow. Now, that's good news. But the thing is, that, you know, I think sometimes God knows, and my wife tells me this too. I said, honey, I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. She says, don't you think the Lord knows? Don't you hate it when your wife's right? Kind of give a testimony. Anybody want to give a testimony of this right now, please? But it's true. God's not worried about anything. And my wife says, what are you worried about? I said, well, I just want to leave you. And then she says, I'll be fine. I'm thinking, why do you say that? You got someone waiting in the wings or what's going on here? I keep seeing this car parked out in the parking lot. I don't know what's going on here. No. She just knows something a little bit more than I do sometimes. God's not worried. God said, I have everything under control. God, if you take Mr. Nicodemus' wife, Lord, don't you worry. I remember one day he got, don't tell him I told you this, okay? He got locked out of his house. He came to church, and I said, how you doing? He goes, well, I'm doing all right. So I just locked myself out of the house. I'm like, what? He says, I took the wrong set of keys that's in the house. I said, well, how are you going to get in? He said, I just told the Lord, Lord, I'll go to church. I think you'll help me get in my house. So he left, and we're on our way home. I said, let's go by Mr. Nicodemus and make sure he's okay and he's in the house. I got there, and his wife was in the back of the van. The back door was open. It was nice weather. And of course, she couldn't talk. She didn't even, I don't even know if she knew I was there. And he wasn't around. I'm going, Mr. Nicodemus. kept calling for him. My wife said, maybe he's around back. And I said, I'll go around back. I went around back, couldn't find him. I went around that one side, couldn't find him. I knocked on the doors. I couldn't find him anywhere. And I thought, how's he going to get out? And then after a while, I don't know how long we were there, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 14 days, 3 hours and 2 minutes. My wife said, well, what about the other? I said, I've been all around this house, but I didn't, there was a little cutback behind his chimney. And he had a little ladder set up, and he was standing on the top of the ladder. Now, don't tell him this part either. He's not a spring chicken. And I said, well, there you are. He goes, oh, hi, preacher. He said, if I can get this window off, I can get in. Well, I'm telling you what, a little kid could get in if someone could get the window off. He finally got it loose, and he got a stick, and he hooked a pair of his blue jeans he had on with the keys hooked to them. And he stuck that in, and I'm thinking there's just a little key ring, and he's sticking this stick in there, and I know he's going to push it off the side of the bed. I can't see you. I've got my phone up here like this, holding it for him. He's standing on top, and all of a sudden, I think I got it. And sure enough, out comes a pair of blue jeans with the keys of heaven, amen? And the keys are on there. And he said, well, praise the Lord. I'm like, get out before you kill yourself, you know. And went out to the car, and his poor dear wife was sitting out there. But God knows what's going on. You know what? I look at it like this. That man sat in church not worried. And we worry about everything. Understand the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I love about it is what he said in verse number 19, and that is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. To usward. Exceeding greatness. God has power that's limitless in both its scope and demand. Not power in us, but power toward us. I know I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but here's the thing, it's Christ that strengthens me. It's not the power that I have myself, it's the power of Christ. His power is used in relationship to our daily needs. God meets our daily needs, doesn't he? You here today? Of course. He's met your daily needs. Any of you not had any food this week? How many of you ate too much? Don't answer that. But we've all had food to eat this week. God's good, isn't he? Roof over our house. The wind was blowing, shaking everything in the world. You know, I wondered what would be left in the backyard and the yard. That was what was left. But we didn't lose it. I couldn't believe it. Nothing really blew down, just a couple little sticks. But I thought, you know, that God's power is there to meet our everyday needs. God's God, and he loves us. He cares about how and what we feel and think and need. Isn't it wonderful how personal God is? He's not only able but willing to meet all you need. And I notice in verse 21 down through verse number 23, it talks about that wonderful description of this. Look at verse 21, far above principalities. Principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 11, God has spoken once, twice, have I heard this? The power belongeth unto God. All power belongs to God and comes from God. It's not something we can get up ourselves. When I think about his power, that it's, as it said in verse number 21, it's far above principality. Principality, that's, you know, that means God's power is above anything else. Isn't it great to have the most powerful one? You know, there's been a lot of sports figures that said that they were the most powerful. Some of the boxers said that too, only to get knocked out the next time. But the all-powerful one is God. There's nothing more than the power of God. It belongs to God and comes from God. The Power means any force, influence, capacity, or strength. Above might, it's miraculous power, force beyond any and all ability to do. But then it also said, he said, like I said, principality and power and might. And then he talks about dominion. In other words, God still rules the affairs of man, setting up and taking down authority as he will. You stop and think about this. Knock, knock, White House. You're not in charge. Now, I think most Democrats and Republicans understand that. What I'm saying is this. I don't care who it is. They're not in charge. God is. I don't know about you, but I look at the news, read some stories. And I'm telling you what, we're in a very corrupt world today. But let me tell you this one too. And God's still in charge. Well, how can He's still in charge? You know, the dominion means that God rules in the affairs of man, setting up and taking down authority as His will. You know, I think about Iran is now firing upon Israel. I wonder what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. Somebody's still in control, and it's not the leaders of those countries. The Iranians, they think, yeah, we got our oil. They're driving their oil trucks around thinking, hey, we're okay. You know, there's a God in heaven that says, I could put that oil right back in the ground where it came from. And God could smack Netanyahu, too. And I'm not sure if he already did our president because he acts like he's been smacked. God's still in charge. Let me tell you something. If Trump gets in, it's not going to be any better, really. You know, I mean, his little flip-flop about abortion thing bothers me. So, well, you know, we got to let everybody else. Yeah, he goes, we still need to get elected. Hey, Bob, let's put right first. That's why I'm not going to fall apart. God's still in charge. God says, all right. You know, like, what was it? Someone said about... Well, I can't think of it now. Might as well not say it if I can't think about it. Maybe it's God saying, no, don't do that one. But he's far above all things. He's above things in heaven and on earth too. All things were made by him and for him. Then look at verse number 22. He hath put all things under his feet. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church. You know, think about this. Head over all things and giving it to the church. I'm thankful for the church, aren't you? And it's not, we're not talking about this worldwide thing. I hear people saying, well, I belong to the worldwide church. My question is, where do you send your tithes? Where do you go get baptized at? You know, where do you go to church? They belong to this worldwide church where there's, you don't have to send any tithes in. You just go ahead and steal from God and feel good about it, I guess. I don't know. But you see, there's no man, talking about Pope, and others, there's no dogma, no creed that is above God. Nothing above it. You say, well, how do we know? Just look and see what God's word says. Go with me back up your Bible there in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. How about this? For by him were all things created, that in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. How about this one? And for him. And for him, verse number 18, or verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know, I mean, isn't it interesting how our bodies work? Right now, with any help, my heart is pumping. That's good. My brain is functioning at 50%. That is better than it's ever been. But you know, you think about it. The blood runs through our veins without you even thinking about it. You say, man, that's really something. That is a miracle. But that's how God designed it. You know, the doctor stands there and looks at us, well, I'm not sure. I don't know how long you have. I'm like, you know, check with him. God knows. That's why the numbers don't really matter. It matters what he says. Or verse 18, he's the head of the body. Oh, here it is again, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. You know, God loves the church. I have you know this too, I love the church too. That's how I long for it. I sometimes don't feel good, but I always long to go to church. I long to go to church. And I thought, you know, think about his wonderful power he's given to us. God has power of things in heaven. Job 1:10 says, hast thou made an hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. You think about it. Satan came and appeared before the Lord and said, you've made a hedge about him. You know, God's a powerful in heaven, isn't he? But also God's power for creation. Psalm 135, verse 6, whosoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of the treasuries. I don't know, maybe I'm a strange one, but I like thunderstorms and lightning. As long as it's not right on my house. Hey man, I had an uncle got struck by lightning one time. I'm not happy about it, but I still like lightning. The other night when it was lightning so bad and the thunder, and it was warm, we had the windows open in the house, and I laid there, and I'm thinking, Lord, please don't wake my wife up. Let it thunder, but not real loud. Because I see the sky light up. I think, I know who's able to do that. That's God's able to do that. And the thunder, man, the roar. I mean, can you imagine how in the world, I know you have a scientific, I don't care what the scientists say, I'm just amazed at what God's able to do. I think one day God made clouds, and God said, all right, clouds, and I want you to clap once in a while. Oh, smack them really hard, because we're going to have some Baptists need to wake up out of sleep, amen, in the morning. But thank the Lord for his creation. God has power over human government. Look at Romans chapter 13. That's what we were talking about already a little bit. Romans chapter number 13. Look at verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, God allows powers to happen. I can't sit here and say, well, I don't need to follow the law of the speed limit. No, I need to, because God has given municipalities and given places where that they can make some powers, and I need to obey that. It doesn't say in a certain part in the Bible how fast you can go. Although I just really believe deep down in my heart, the Lord wants us to go as fast as we can, because our time is limited. Whosoever, verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the powers, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. But wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, and I don't care what this old world says, just do good, amen. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, to whom tribute is due. Custom whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And I don't know about you, but I hate paying taxes. Now, we have a very nice tax lady. She's a really sweet lady. And my wife goes up, talks to her sometimes and saying, can't you give us a senior discount? And no, she doesn't do that. But she lost her husband to leukemia several years ago. We found out about it. My wife just felt bad that we didn't say anything. She went up and she made her some things and took it up to her. And every time she'd go up there, she'd be maybe an hour. And they would talk. And when she goes to pay the tax bill, I don't like paying the tax bill. It's not that I don't like that lady. She's a very nice lady. I hate paying taxes. I hate my taxes paying for. My taxes keep a school building that I have nothing good to say about, really. Keeps it going. My taxes pay for things I don't want them to go for. But God said, render therefore all their dues, tribute whom tribute is due, custom whom custom. I just sometimes some things we've got to do that God says, I know. In fact, what did he tell the disciples one day when they need to pay taxes? I'm wishing the Lord would help us pay our taxes this way. Remember he said, go down there, there's a fish. Go catch a fish. When you catch that fish, there's money in it. Is it trout season yet? Is it trout season? Check their mouth. Check their mouth. What happens? They pulled it out and there was money in it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, Lord, you know, tomorrow's the 15th, you know, tax day. Tomorrow's the 15th. Need a few extra $100. The Lord says, all right, get some worms. Head on down to the river. I'm afraid, though, some of you would miss church to go because you're so backslidden. You'd miss church and out there trying to catch fish instead of coming to church. But anyways, but God has power. He can raise authorities up and he can take authorities down. You know, these regimes that are thinking they're something today, they're hanging by a thread. And God's there with the scissors about ready to go. And you're going to plunge. Our president, I think, is hanging by a thread. And whoever else occupies that place is hanging by a thread. Better watch out. God has power over nations and kingdoms and dominions. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. All nations and all kings are under his control. I know it's hard for us to believe that. But you know, these guys that think they're something, the Iranian guys that think they're something, they're nothing. Their God's dead. And our God says, I'll take you out when you need to go. God has all power, therefore nothing's impossible with him. 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou is exalted as head above all. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now here's the thing I want you to get this morning. All these things we've just talked about are true. But none of these areas of God's power are of any use if they're just facts to us. And we could all say, and probably I think if I took a poll right now, we'd say, preacher, I believe all those things. But they're just facts to us. We need more than that. We need more facts to the omnipotence, meaning the all power of God. We need more than to say, well, I know he's all powerful. But I go back to verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? I know he's all powerful. God says it's to usward. It all affects us. Both our position in Christ that we're saved and in our circumstances in the world. Listen to this verse, Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Did you get that? For in him we live and move and have our being. How can we do this? Because all the power of God, we sometimes look and say, yeah, I know that God has all this power. I know what he's able to do. But understand, what did he say? To usward. I benefit of the power of God. I benefit that God is the creator of everything. I benefit from that. I have that salvation, the greatness of his power and salvation, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God was right there on the cross to save that man beside him. God is always where that person is that needs to be saved. You know, when I'll pray before someone bows their head and ask the Lord to save them. Lord, now help them now. You know, I really don't have to ask the Lord to help them because I know he is. It's that power. The greatness of his power of preservation. Jude 1:24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Aren't you glad you don't lose your salvation? He prevents us from falling. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8, 38 and 39. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. Have you ever been lost before? It's kind of a scary experience. I got lost in the woods a couple times. And I remember crying out, saying, Pam, don't leave me. No, but I can get turned around. I told a guy when we went bear hunting in Maine, he said, just when it gets dark, just walk out to the road. I said, I get lost in my backyard. Even before I went to Alaska, I bought one of these little GPS things. I'm telling you what, worthless. I couldn't even figure it out in my backyard. I'm thinking, I'm going up here. Thank the Lord other guys had it. They probably had it probably the same way. Hope this thing works. But you know, I'm glad for his great power in preserving us. That nothing can separate us from him. Exceeding greatness of his power and sanctification. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, I'm glad on sanctification, God makes us something new. You know, I'm glad that it's that old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, whatever God wants in us can be in us. Amen. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, you know, sometimes people, they don't get saved because they think they can't live the Christian life. I'll tell you right now, you can't live the Christian life unless you are saved. He gives the power and the strength to do that. Exceeding greatness of his power in our protection. Psalm 121 verse 8 tells us from where our help comes from. It comes from the hills, it comes from God. We're really, there's a hedge in the Lord. We're really in a hedge by the Lord. All that can touch us are things that he allows. One of the things I had to come to grips with, because the first thing that came to my mind was, why? But I know this, God allows things. I don't understand. You know, it's kind of like, aren't we this way sometimes? Why me? Why me? I don't know, but I know God allowed it. I guess that's why I don't like it, but I don't have such a hard thing about it. Because I know it's something God allowed. I believe God can use. Remember my message on from a curse to a blessing? I still believe that, even when I don't feel good. God protects us. There's that hedge about us. I'm not going to heaven any sooner than what God had planned for me to go to heaven. You're not going to heaven any sooner when God has a plan for you to go to heaven. So I pray I never get cancer. And so what happens? A car hits you. Could be. And Lord, please don't let me have cancer. And all of a sudden, the heart goes. No, but we know this. God has a time. If you're saved, what are you worried about? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, I was teased about my funeral. And, you know, I want you to go by. Now, again, remember, don't say, oh, he looks good. Don't say that. I've already heard folks say this. I've been sick. You know, you walk away from folks sometimes. Went in church. I walked away from some people one day, and I heard him go, he don't look good. I'm thinking, I've always been ugly. God's good. He protects us. Exceeding greatness of his power and his provisions. Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Did you notice I got a haircut? You didn't notice, did you? Bill, did you notice it? You did, because last week he goes, oh, your hair, you got the comb over going. I'm thinking, comb over don't sound good. But we found out something. Well, I found out something, too. My hair growing out was getting darker. And so I was between a rock and a hard place yesterday when I said, I think I need a haircut, but can you glue the brown stuff back in? And Bill said, well, maybe instead of chemo, they're giving you, Grecian. I don't know. So if any of you like your hair to get a little bit darker, just let me know. I'd set you up. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. I looked as when we were done, my wife gave me my haircut. And she goes, it hurt? No, my ears aren't bleeding. I'm fine. I looked down the floor, and there's all that hair on the floor. I thought, you know what? God knew about all those hairs. In fact, he knows the other end of those hairs. They were still in my head. Think about that one for a moment. Evidently, you're not thinking. I've put you so deep to sleep. Fear you not, therefore, ye are more value than the sparrows. Looks to me like he's taking good care of meeting our needs, hasn't he? Hasn't he? He's given you a comfortable pew to relax in. Exceeding greatness of his power and our promises. According as his 2 Peter 1:3 and 4 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's given us great exceeding promises, hasn't he? And those are promises you can take to the bank. Worried about. God said, I'll take care of you. But God, the doctor, God said, I'll take care of you. God, my family, God said, I'll take care of them too. God, my finances, God says, take care of that. But God, then God stops you and says, hey, I'm going to take care of everything. We just need to learn to trust him. The exceeding greatness of his power. In control, Philippians 1:6, and I'll close with this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Four words I want to leave with you. Four words. We will make it. Now, if you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. Let me say this. You're going to make it. He said, but preach, I don't know what's going to happen. You'll make it. Because he's God. What did he say? I go back to verse 19. I think I said I was at closing with this, but I'm going to close again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The power to usward. I'm thankful that he has power. But I'm thankful that it's to us word. I'm able today to enjoy the power that is God's. And so are you. The greatness of his power. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for your greatness. Lord, help it sink in. Help us to understand the greatness of power that you have for us. We'd ever need. Have your will and way in this time. If there's somebody here not saved, pray you save them. With their heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, I wonder if you were to die, do you know for sure you go to heaven? I wonder if anyone said, preacher, I'm not sure about this. I know who God is, but I'm not sure about heaven. I need to be saved. I wonder if anyone here this morning said, preacher, that's me. I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up, anyone? Anyone, preacher, that's me. You say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Hey, take advantage and understand what you have in him. Exceeding greatness of his power to us, word. You say, but that's for somebody else. That's to us that are saved. Thank the Lord for his power. Maybe God spoke to your heart this morning about some things. The altar always is open. And again, if you're not sure of salvation, come. Trust the Lord. In a few moments, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. It's a good time for us to examine ourselves before we take of it. Father, bless this invitation now. I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.